We got a special treat, kids.
Let's go.
Since we are going to be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, we bring in our man, NFL insider, the one and only Mad Dog McClain, John McClain. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? By the way, I'm going to ask you something. In the A&M Texas game, did Marcel Reed, how many interceptions did he throw?
Two.
Two. And so he threw two on Saturday. Were they crucial like they were on Saturday?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They were late in the game when A&M was trying to get back in it.
It was a good thing he's going back to school, because that's a bad taste to leave in the mouth of NFL scouts and coaches. You cannot throw interceptions when you're in a position like A&M was against Miami. And it's good that he's going back. Hopefully he will bounce back from that when they play big games.
Yeah. What'd you think of that game, John?
Boring. I thought A&M would win. You did too. Zay picked Miami because he hates the Aggies. He picked Alabama because he hates Oklahoma, so he's 2-0. And I'm going to see who I hate this next week. I have to find somebody to hate.
Where are you on the Red Raiders?
Oh, I'm a big Red Raiders fan. I want all the Texas teams to win. I'm a Texan.
Yeah.
I don't want most of my friends, whoever Texas plays, they're for the other team. Whoever A&M plays, they're for the other team. And I'm not like that. And so I hope the Red Raiders win. I'd like to see them beat Oregon. I'd like to see them make some noise. I don't want them to see them be one and done and stink it up on offense like the Aggies did.
Yeah. Yeah. How about my Super Bowl-bound Houston Texans, John?
Super Bowl-bound. With this offense, are you kidding me? They were lucky to beat the Raiders. And I'll tell you something about the league's number one defense, who is number one in points allowed. In the last two games against two of the worst teams in the NFL, they've given up six touchdowns, three each game. Five are touchdown passes by two immortals, Jacoby Brissett and Geno Smith. Now, people here tend to just kind of blow it off. Well, they're getting ready for the Chargers. You know, they played great against the Chiefs and the Bills and the 49ers and the Ravens and, yes, the Colts. They did. But it's got to be worrisome the way they move the ball. Now, they beat Arizona by 20 because C.J. Stroud and the offense played great. C.J. Stroud was horrible for three quarters against the Raiders. And then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, I guess he came alive. And in the fourth quarter on two drives, he was 9 of 10 for 77 yards and a touchdown pass. And he had three big passes for first downs. He was outstanding. But before that, it was the outhouse. And their offensive line stunk it up big time, speaking of outhouses, in the running game. Stroud didn't get sacked. I don't even know he got hit twice. So the pass protection was good. Right tackle Trent Brown did a great job on there. All-pro defensive end Max Crosby. Nick Chubb had a 30-yard run late in the game. You take that away. Texans ran 25 times for 53 yards. That is 2.1 a carry. That is miserable, a miserable performance. They just don't have a running game. Their offensive line needs at least two new starters in the offseason, maybe three, and they need to get them a big-time running back.
Yeah. John, you know, when you look at just yesterday's game, obviously it was a little sluggish, especially for the offense, but how important is it for the Texans to win the division matchup-wise at this point?
Well, you get a home game, and they have never been a wild card team, which means you have to play on the road. And they have played well on the road this season because of the defense being great, not because of the offense. And I don't think this offense will be good in January because they don't run the ball well enough, because their offensive line gets just pulverized. And I think their offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, doesn't do a good job calling plays in a running game. And so right now, let's see, Denver would still get the bye, and the Texans would be the wild card team with the worst record. I think they'll lose to the Chargers, beat the Colts, finish 11-6, and that means they'd go to New England. They went to New England last year, beat them, so it's not like it'd be strange. Patriots are obviously a better team with Mike Vrabel and Drake May in his second season, and they have been terrible in Foxborough through the decades. And the one place they wouldn't want to go is Orchard Park, New York, and playing Josh Allen the way they beat him up 2 years in a row here. And so New England's got to hold on. And right now, Jacksonville is playing as well as any team in football, going into Denver, breaking 11-game winning streak, and winning by 14. Since they blew that game in the fourth quarter, the Texans, and I thought they were going to go down the toilet, they have not lost. Trevor Lawrence is playing great. Running game is great. The defense is playing really well. And they just showed they can beat anybody, anywhere. Liam Cohen, like several other coaches, is a legitimate candidate for Coach of the Year. And so I think the Texans will be a wild card. And they won and done. Won't surprise me at all.
Well, we were just talking about the coach of the year in the NFL and just how hotly contested that race is, John. I mean, do you have a top three?
No, I can tell you it won't be Dan Campbell. And although I do think the Lions got screwed at the end with two OPIs, but I got a lot of respect for them, for Campbell and Jared Goff. They didn't blame the officials. They blame themselves. So that's one of my Super Bowl teams not going to Super Bowl. The other one is Buffalo. You could make a case, Ben Johnson in Chicago, Mike Vrabel, New England, Liam Cohen, Jacksonville. You can't rule out Mike McDonald in Seattle. Seattle may be the best team. And they were 10-7 in his first season, but they didn't go to the playoffs. You cannot rule out Sean Payton having a great season after cutting Russell Wilson, accepting the albatross that was his contract, and they won anyway. Shows what a great coach who gets his quarterback can do. And then everybody says Kyle Shanahan is doing the best coaching job in his career. If the 49ers win at Indy tonight and they win their next two at home, they get home field advantage in the NFC, not the Seahawks and not the Rams. And the voting for the Coach of the Year, like all the other awards, is done the second day after regular season ends. And that is, to me, going to be the toughest one to do for a long time. I still think Matthew Stafford will win the MVP because I think the Rams are the best team because of him, balance, great coaching. But it's going to be tough. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor was running away for offensive player of the year right now. I don't know who it would be. I hate it when the voters will vote on an MVP and then make him offensive rookie of the year. I mean, offensive player of the year. That they should say you can't do that. Defensive player of the year, I'm going with Myles Garrett. When you think about no leads in the fourth quarter for him to tee off on quarterbacks, playing with a terrible team, with a terrible offense, I think he should win it, I believe, for the second time. Because he's so much better than every other pass rusher.
Yeah. Damn, John, that Dan Campbell shot went through Chip and hit me, man. That was rough, but I respect it. As a known hater, I respect it. Todd Bowles, I don't know how the Bucks have blown it this bad these last few weeks. Baker Mayfield looks horrible, just – you're losing to the Panthers, which shout out to the Panthers. They're doing their thing. JT Sanders from Texas had a touchdown yesterday, but it just seems like the Bucs are making more mistakes that are giving the opposing teams victories. Your thoughts on that?
If they beat Miami and they beat Carolina and Tampa, they win the division as bad as they played. I was in the press box watching that game and thinking, okay, Bucs got the ball. Baker's going to work some magic. Goes straight down the field the way he did here when he pulled out a one-point victory in the second game of the season. Instead, he throws left, Mike Evans, goes to his left, and he throws it right to the Panther. Interception. Panthers didn't do anything. Guy just caught the ball thrown right in his hands. I still think Tampa's a better team. Mayfield is a better quarterback. But a lot of people are wishing Todd Bowles would be fired. I don't see them firing him after one mediocre year. It's not even a bad year. It's not like they're winning four or five games. They're going to be in the race unless they blow the Miami game. They're going to be in the race. Well, they'll still be in the race right up until the end. Yes, they have not played well. They've had to play a lot without Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving, their best running back, and yet they're still in the race.
Okay, so the Jaguars, I was hoping that, you know, they would eat it in Denver, but what do you think? How does this end, and how are the Jags doing it?
Trevor Lawrence is playing great. The running game has been really good. Offensive line's improved. Defense is playing well. You know, if you're talking about a trade made at the deadline that has worked out really well, Jacoby Myers, wide receiver, who came from the Raiders, felt like he went from heaven, from hell to heaven. He has been a tremendous addition. Made a great block on a touchdown yesterday. They talk about how much he's come in. And really, he's brought a new attitude to that locker room. Liam Cohen, he is a legitimate candidate for Coach of the Year. He and Ben Johnson, the Bears, are examples for a team like the Titans. Titans have Cam Ward, number one pick. He's got an interim coach. They got more money to spend in free agency than any team. And if they get the right coach for him, like Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen, I don't know who that would be. It seems like there are more defensive coordinators as leading candidates to be head coaches than offensive coordinators. I'm not so sure. If I was the Titans, I wouldn't hire Mike McCarthy. But I don't even know if he's on the list. They might fool around and hire Arthur Smith, who's doing a really good job with the Steelers offense under the circumstances. But it's a great example of what you can do. Like New England had more money to spend under than any team. They used it very wisely, even though we thought it was going to be next year before they were a contender. And I really thought in the first game the Texans played at the Jaguars, in the fourth quarter the Texans turned it over three times in the Jaguars' red zone, and they lost by seven. And then the Texans had that 26-point comeback here. And I thought we wouldn't see Jacksonville again. They go straight down the toilet like they've done before. But, boy, they just hitched up their pants and came back better than ever. And Trevor Lawrence is finally living up to the hype of being a generational quarterback. I believe it's his fifth year. And they have showed they can beat anybody. But nobody's going to take them seriously until they win a couple playoff games.
Yeah.
John, Chicago had a big win Saturday night, had to come back from Green Bay. Green Bay just keeps having bad luck. First Michael Parsons, then Jordan Love goes out. But Caleb Williams made some big time throws in the fourth quarter to put them into overtime. Your thoughts on the Bears? And do you think the Packers are going to make the playoffs with all the injuries and things happening at the end of the season?
I'm guessing Love with his concussion. Generally, you don't come back in a game with a concussion. You generally don't play the next week with a concussion. And they're involved in a serious playoff race. Malik Willis, who the Titans didn't want after they drafted him in the third round, when he's had an opportunity to play with the Packers, he's played really well. Matt LaFleur and his staff have done a tremendous job developing Malik Willis, because with Tennessee, he's just a runner. Now he's an accurate passer and a runner. But Caleb Williams, that throw he made in overtime, it was a great catch by DJ Moore. It was great coverage, tremendous coverage by the Packers. I don't even remember who the corner was, but he was all over him. And I noticed afterward, I love watching the post-game videos the teams put out of the coach and the players jumping around, giving out game balls. And Ben Johnson had one left, And he walked over to Caleb Williams and said, "Caleb, I love you. This last one's going to DJ." And they all started cheering like crazy because that was a tremendous catch under incredible pressure and great coverage. So the Bears, I think, winning a game like that, as well as some others have proved, they can win when they're behind. They can win under pressure. They can win in cold weather. And I like watching them play. They are fun. And they've got a chance to go from worst to first unless they crater.
Man. Well, what do you think about tonight's game? San Francisco and Indianapolis.
Phillip Rivers' second game. He should be a little better than the first one. The 49ers have gotten as healthy as they could get after the Texans obliterated them. And they're doing a really good job. And the key for Indianapolis on defense is containing Christian McCaffrey. And the key on offense is to get the running game with Jonathan Taylor running a lot and Phillip Rivers not having to throw anymore than he has to, and try to score some touchdowns and not just rely on field goals. They're still in the playoff race. Fans in Indy are going to be going crazy at Lucas Oil Stadium. It'll be an exciting atmosphere. Both teams have a lot to play for. 49ers playing for home field advantage. Colts playing for a wild card game. I think 49ers will win. If the Colts beat them with Phillip Rivers, my goodness, that'd be one of the biggest upsets ever.
Yeah. John, it seems like the Steelers are kind of finding the stride. Aaron Rodgers has looked better these last 3 weeks. We know Mike Tomlin, he's going to get you the 9 games. That's just what he does. But other than DK Metcalf slapping the hell out of fans, the Steelers have a lot to feel good about right now. Again, just seeing how Rodgers and Tomlin were going off the field, at least they like each other, which getting along, that could take you far in the postseason. Sometimes it's just one to play for your brother.
I don't think, first of all, Rodgers, keeping him off of Pat McAfee this season was so smart, for whether they asked him to or he did it on his own. Because every week he said things that on Wednesday the media came to ask him about, and it was news all week. It was a distraction. He hasn't been a distraction for the Steelers. And I think Tomlin's got a lot to do with that. And he is getting rid of the ball faster than any quarterback. There was a stretch in the middle of the season where he was struggling to be mediocre. Now he's playing really well. Their defense without T.J. Watt limited the Lions to, what, 15 yards rushing? That's unheard of. And they ran for over 200 and had 345-plus runs. That's like throwback days of the Steelers. Now, they'll play a home game, and they will play – the wild card team with the best record, which right now would be the Chargers, and over the Bills, and then the Texans would be third. And maybe they're always a threat to win at home, even though that stadium does not have the mystique that the old Three Rivers Stadium did when teams were afraid to come in there because they knew they were going to get busted in the mouth. But they've been fun to watch. They've won 3 in a row. The Ravens can still pull this off. The Ravens blew that game last night in New England, and they play them in the last game. I like the way the NFL has scheduled division games at the end of the season, 2 of the last 3 games, because we're going to get several decided on that last weekend. Can't wait. It's so exciting to watch them, and can't wait for the next round of the CFP. Maybe it'll be a little more exciting than – even A&M game being close, that wasn't exciting. That was just close.
Yeah. Do you think DK Metcalf gets suspended for?
He should be. I don't care what that fan said to him. I'm wondering how he ended up by himself.
Yeah.
I've seen players before get mad at fans and go over there, and security will go, teammates will go, and he's over there by himself like it's a casual afternoon, and we watch him reach up and slap the guy. But you can't do that. You can't do something physical with a fan no matter what. You go over and you tell security, that fool from the Lions is wearing that blue wig. He just said this, this, this. Then they get him kicked out. And so he exercised bad judgment. He'll get fined. He should get suspended. You got to set an example. If the next player hears something like that, says, well, I'm only going to get fined $25,000, I'm going over there and punch that guy's lights out. Now, that guy can't possibly sue him because he didn't hit him. And the guy told the media who he was, his name. I'd have been embarrassed to do that. I'd have been embarrassed to look like that. Would you do that, Chip? Would you wear a blue wig like that as a Lions fan?
No.
You just do it at home, right?
Yeah.
So it was a sordid thing that took away from a great Pittsburgh old-fashioned kind of victory.
Yeah. John, your thoughts on Quinn Ewers' debut in Miami? First half, he looked pretty good. Second half, had a couple of picks. They fumbled on the tight end, fumbled on that seam route. But overall, it was the decent debut. Your thoughts on that?
They couldn't blame that loss on Ewers. You know, Zach Wilson was upset he wasn't starting. I don't blame him. He's the number two quarterback. I'm trying to figure out why did they go with Ewers over Wilson? Because Ewers is not going to be the quarterback of the future. And Tua, I can't see Tua coming back there if Mike McDaniel is back and everybody says it looks like he will be. They're going to have to pick up a big portion of that contract, see if there's another team that wants to try to get out of Tua what he showed a lot of his career. He's a perfect quarterback who needs a new address. He's got to get a new team.
Well, I ask you this every week, but who's the best team in the NFL right now? Are we frozen? We got the freeze.
We got the freeze, man. There he is.
I'm back. They can't go with Ewers. It'd be great if he played really well. But even if he does, they can't hitch their wagon to him as a starter. They could get rid of Zach Wilson and make him number two. But they got to have another quarterback. They can't go into the season with Tua Tagovailoa coming back, no matter what it costs. I mean, they should get a little braver considering what's happened with Sean Payton and the Broncos. Even though they ate the Russell Wilson contract, and people thought, oh, no, they're going to be down for at least 2 years, and they haven't been down at all.
What I ask you this every week, but who do you think is the best team in the NFL right now?
I think right now it's Seattle, but if you ask me who I think is going to win the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be the Rams. I think they're destined to play the Seahawks a third time. Matthew Stafford's playing better than any quarterback in the NFL. They've got a two-headed monster running game with Williams and Blake Corum, and who's come out of nowhere. They've got a good offensive line, not a great one, but a good one. They've got a really good defensive line. Now, their secondary is suspect. Their special teams are so bad that McVay fired Chase Blackburn, their special teams coach, after that Seattle game. I don't trust Sam Darnold yet. I want to see him win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl and play great before I can trust him. It's like the young quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May. They've been tremendous. But they got to, winning in, during regular season is one thing. They got to prove they can win in January. And they haven't been given that opportunity yet. And that's why I think last year the Rams went to Philly, divisional round. Weather was terrible. They almost beat the eventual Super Bowl champions. And it's interesting, we haven't even talked about the defending Super Bowl champion who just won the NFC East for the first time. Back-to-back titles in, what, 21 years? And I'm wondering, watching them, are they just bored with the regular season? Are they just waiting for the playoffs? Will we see a different Saquon Barkley? Will they start to put it together? You know, they got arresters. I'm guessing they got it battling for their position in the playoffs. But will we see a different Philadelphia team in the playoffs than we've seen in regular season?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, John, because three straight losses, that's crazy. But they're on a two-game winning streak, but it's the Raiders and the Commanders. So I know Eagles fans are trying to be optimistic, but it's hard when you play a couple of teams that have no playoff aspirations and you still got that three straight losses, you know, bad taste in your mouth.
Those three losses could have been a wake-up call they needed. When they're playing bad teams at the end of the year, you need to work on things, like work on getting your running game going with Saquon Barkley, which they did against Washington. He looked better. But they have Tank Bigsby looked good. They've got to work on a running game because you got to think they're going to play outdoors. And they've still got what should be a great defense. The offensive line, Lane Johnson's back, going to be back. And Jalen Hurts has not played nearly as well or as consistently well. It seems like when A.J. Brown has big games, they lose. Early in the year, they're winning, and he was pouting. You know, let him pout some more if it means you're going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you're not buying my Texans to the Super Bowl. You're thinking,
Chip, let me give you a tip. Besides hoping that the Lions can find a miracle
and get the playoffs today, Chip.
The tip is don't mention Texans and the Super Bowl in the same sentence.
Oh, God.
Love that.
Your life will be a lot easier if you remember those two things. And then the other thing I always tell people, the two most important words in the English language, yes and dear.
Yeah. Well, now I'm cheering for the Lions to finish in last place so they get that last place schedule.
You should. Wouldn't that be something seeing them whip up on that last place schedule? If you're not going to go into the playoffs, you might as well lose. Nobody's going to hold it at this point against Dan Campbell. They'll be thinking about higher draft choice, and they'll be thinking about that last place schedule.
That's right.
Why aren't we talking about the Chargers more, John? They're 11-4. They beat the brakes off the Cowboys yesterday. Quentin Johnson out of TCU, people thought he was going to be a bust, and he's out here making one-hand Randy Moss-style catches and Hardball. You know, he just brings a certain amount of juice that is infectious to the locker room. Why aren't people talking about the Chargers more?
I think this is you know, they got in the playoffs last year. They came to Houston. They were favored. Texans beat them. Justin Herbert helped choke one of the biggest playoff leads ever when they went to Jacksonville and blew a big lead. Jaguars advanced. They didn't. People want to see him in the playoffs. They lost their offensive tackles. Harbaugh's done a really good job coaching this year, but he's not doing any better than he did last year when they were a wild card team. And, they should beat the Texans. I'm not sure who they play in the last game, but right now they could be the wild card team with the best record, which means they would go to Pittsburgh or Baltimore, but we all think Pittsburgh. And then they would have to prove they can win on the road in the playoffs again, which they haven't done those last two times. So I think that's why we're not hearing more. Justin Herbert played great against the Cowboys. He had been kind of struggling, even though they were winning, because that broken bone in his hand. And he gutted it out when he was hurt. And, boy, he looked good. He had that great run in the fourth quarter. And he owes the Texans. He has lost the last two games he's played to them, both at NRG Stadium. And I'm sure he's going in. He's thinking about last year. It's in the back of his mind. And the previous time he came here, the Texans upset him. And that's when they were bad. The Texans were terrible. So he owes the Houston Texans.
Well, the Patriots, is this real? I mean, Drake May's playing great. Ramondre Stevenson's running it. Diggs is catching it. I mean, Vrabel's that good, huh?
I was wondering how they're going to bounce back from blowing that 21-0 lead at home to the Bills. Was it going to be the start of something bad, or were they going to do like the Jacksonville Jaguars and bounce back, and they did? Mike Vrabel's a really good coach. You see him on the sideline. He's got a bad temper, but you don't see him blow up the sideline unless it's at officials. He knows how to handle players because he was a really good one for a long time with a bunch of rings to prove it. And so Mike is a good coach. He learned from his years in Tennessee. They're a year ahead of schedule. The regime from last year did a tremendous job taking Drake May, and Josh McDaniels when you're talking about assistant coaches of the year, he should be in the running because he has done a terrific job with that offense.
Yeah, crazy because he is a terrible head coach.
You know who won't be in running for assistant coach of the year? Anybody?
Kelvin Shepherd.
Lions.
Dan Campbell as offensive coordinator.
Sorry, John.
Hey,
let me ask y'all something right quick. All these changes Sark's making, what do y'all think?
Well, the move to bring in Will Muschamp, he's hiring a guy who's done it in the SEC before. So it's an all-in move to try to upgrade. And, you know, we'll see what's going on the offensive side of the ball. He hasn't really attacked anything of substance. The offensive line was the problem, and his buddy Kyle Flood is still on staff, and it sounds like he's not going anywhere because Sark keeps talking about him, you know, when he talks about the future. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they're, you know, changed out the running backs coach. We'll see if there are any more staff changes after the bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah, he got Gutkowski, brought in Muschamp, so Sark can focus on the offense more. So I'm expecting 40-something points a game.
They'll throw money into the portal at the offensive line like no other team. They see what Texas Tech's able to do, building from the front back. And I'll leave you guys with this. Besides Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, I've been singing this today trying to get it exactly right. Bear with me. Goodbye to dear old Texas A&M.
I love it.
Thank you, guys.
John, you're the best. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, John. Oh. Appreciate that always.
Love it. John McClain, kind enough to join us on a Monday recapping the NFL. I saw a question. Will Texas Sports Unfiltered be on the air tomorrow? Yes. Yes, we'll be here tomorrow. And then Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Friday, we will be off. And then I'll be coming to you from Orlando.
Damn, when you touch down?
The 27th. Saturday.
Okay. You going to Disney?
Maybe.
Come on, Chip. You got to see Mickey and Goofy and Minnie.
I've done it. Okay. I'll see what the missus wants to do.
Yeah.
If we go, we'd probably go to, I mean, it's a crazy time to be at Disney World. It's packed.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but if we go, we'd probably go to Epcot. That's okay. Kind of the adult playground, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I've been at Universal, never Disney.
Okay, yeah. Universal's good. Hulk, that roller coaster. I know it's probably been updated a little bit since I last was there. I took the kids 2015, 10 years ago. Wow. Yeah. Definitely probably been
updated a little bit.
All right, let's get a couple mentions in here. I want you all to take care of yourselves. So I'm going to talk about my good friends at Human with two N's. The supplements, I love them. I'm a collector of supplements, but not anymore. I've tried every supplement, but once I tried Human supplements, the scientific backed research into these supplements is high end and all done at the University of Texas Health Science Center. And so the beautiful thing about Human is they make it real simple. They put it right on the canister. Metabolic Health Daily. These are the three that I want you to take every day together. Cholesterol Health Daily and the Cardiovascular Health Daily. These scientific backed formulas are going to help your blood sugar. They're going to help your blood pressure. They're going to help with healthy cholesterol. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel better. And don't forget about the Super Beats Heart Chews. You know, it's going to help you regulate blood pressure, provide blood pressure support 2 times more effectively than just diet and exercise alone. And if you're a workout warrior, the turmeric chews anti-inflammation. You know, the pain comes from the inflammation, and the turmeric chews help to regulate that. And I also take the Super Beats sports powder about 30 minutes before I go work out. Tonight, I'm playing pickleball at 6. So at 5:30, I'll take my Super Beats powder and be ready to go. You're going to feel great. And here's the great thing. You go to humanwith2ends.com/TSU and tell them Texas, you know, I mean, well, just use the promo code TSU. You're going to get 20% off your first order. So load up. Load up on the metabolic, the cardiovascular, and the cholesterol health dailies and the Super Beats Heart Chews, the turmeric chews, the Super Beats Sports Powder. Because there's a 90-day money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain, including better health and feeling better. Humanwith2ends.com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU. And for my guys who are snoring, hey, how about the gift of not snoring this Christmas? If you're snoring, it could be the sign of a serious health issue called sleep apnea, which is a lack of oxygen while you're sleeping. That is scary. People die from it. In fact, Dr. Chad Denman, who founded the Sleep Cycle Center of Austin, has dedicated his life to treating sleep apnea because it did kill his own father at the age of 60. And we've got this great partnership with Texas Sports Unfiltered and the Sleep Cycle Center of Austin, locations in Lakeway and at the Arboretum. All you have to do is go to sleepcyclecenters.com. And tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. They're going to take $100 off your sleep study, practically give it away. And that sleep study is going to detect, you know, what level of sleep apnea you have. And Dr. Chad has the best treatment options, from oral appliance, like the mouth guard that I have that holds my lower jaw open while I sleep so I get that oxygen, to surgery. But get the answers. Take advantage of this great partnership right now. And the person who sleeps next to you will thank you later. Just go to sleepcyclecenters.com. Tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. And hey, this holiday season, how about a little holiday cheer at Cover 3? It's Monday, which means all night happy hour. That's right. Happy hour from 3:30 to close at Cover 3 Anderson, Cover 3 Round Rock. Go get that Sean Adams prime rib sandwich with the Parmesan fries, the Ruby Trout, the flatbreads, the beef tenderloin sliders, the buffalo chicken sliders. I love it all. Love those Parmesan fries too. And the Chop House Burger. Texas Monthly calls it one of the best burgers in the state of Texas. So you be the judge. Get into Cover 3 Anderson, Cover 3 Round Rock. And hey, when you're ready for the big screen of your dreams, surveillance, surround sound, new lighting, electronic shades, only one number to call. And that is 255-8678. That is the number of our man, Tom McKay, in audiovisual consultations. Tom's been doing it for 37 years in Austin. He's put big screens and surround sound in all your favorite restaurants and in 3 different houses for me in my time in Austin. He is the best, and he makes it so simple. He's going to bring you the best price on big screens. So it's like ordering a pizza. You call 255-8678. Tom and his crew are going to bring everything to you. From the free consultation to installation, it's so simple. 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. All right. For the chip shot today, let's talk a little bit about DeAndre Moore, because this one hurts. This one hurts. DeAndre Moore, leader, accountable, good route runner, best connection rate among Texas's top 5 receivers. He's you know, rock solid guy, connects well with teammates, not afraid to hold others accountable, but he has higher visions for himself than perhaps the Texas coaching staff. Because how do you determine a number one receiver? You determine it by the targets. Who's getting the most targets? That's the number one receiver. And the number one receiver at Texas, Ryan Wingo, he had almost double the targets of DeAndre Moore. And, you know, Ryan Wingo, 770 yards, seven touchdowns, seven drops. DeAndre Moore, I like it. Bet on yourself, man. Go do you and live the dream. He said going into the year, he wanted to, you know, have 1,200 yards receiving, break Shipley's single season touchdown record of 13 set in 2009. And
did he get close to Jackson Shipley's records?
Yeah, he had four touchdown catches. And, you know, so DeAndre Moore is going to go get in the portal and try to live out that number one receiver somewhere else. And Texas, I'm not saying they're going to hurt at receiver. I'm just saying that DeAndre Moore is a quality receiver. He had the intangible stuff too, the leadership qualities. So that hurts. How about Texas women's basketball? They go up to South Dakota. South Dakota is a perennial mid-major power. Their coach has been there 26 years. He's been to the NCAA tournament a whole bunch of times. They're the five-time defending Summit League champ. They got a player named Brooklyn Meyer, who's really good and scored 20 on Texas. Vic Schaefer said this was the worst game Texas has played in their 14-0 start, but he also said, my team is tired. And they need 5 days off. They're getting 5 days off. They'll return to the court December 28th against Southeastern Louisiana, and then they will open SEC play at Missouri on January. Well, no, that's the men, right? Or no, it is the women. So they'll open SEC play at Missouri, and Rory Harmon is just amazing. Like, Rory Harmon is ridiculous. She had seven assists in this game, one turnover. She leads the nation in assist-to-turnover ratio. She was the one applying the defensive pressure and hitting shots when they needed it, because Vic was not happy with the shot selection. Madison Booker was 7 of 20. Jordan Lee got off to a good start, and now Justice Carlton is hurt. And why didn't Brianna Preston play until the fourth quarter? She was fantastic. She scored 9 points, 4 of 4 shooting. She had a 3-point play in there, 4 assists. I mean,
in 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. More Brianna Preston, please.
Now, she might be on the minutes restriction coming back from the ankle injury, like high ankle sprain. That's nothing to muck with. But yeah, now Justice Carlton is out, which I don't know the, you know, length of time that she's out or how bad that injury is. Hopefully it's not. But yeah, they got to get back healthy. And yeah, Madison Booker, she looked like she was going through the motions yesterday, which is very rare for her. But I'm sure they are exhausted, because the core three, Booker, Harmon, Lee, those girls have logged in a ton of minutes in these first 14 games. And the style of play that Vic Schaefer wants to play, like, you better be in shape. So, you know, Ashton Judd, I thought she had her moments yesterday where she looked good. I thought Bria Cunningham and Kyla Oldager weren't very good yesterday. Like, as you mentioned, homegirl down low, Brooklyn Meyer, she was giving them the work. She was giving them the work, man. Just She was undersized compared to Cunningham and Oldager, but she was really good at using her pump fake. She was good at establishing her position before she got the ball, and she was just patient and got to her spots and then allowed the height and size that Oldager and Cunningham, you know, bring in to affect her. And yeah, Coach Johnston for South Dakota State, that dude, it's a shame. I mean, no offense to South Dakota State. Kudos to him for staying in one place and them, you know, just having that consistency with their head coach. But if he got better talent, Aaron Johnston, if he went to a place where they had more resources, that South Dakota State team, they're a smart team. Like, them white girls could play. They could play. There wasn't one sister on that team, Chip. I was looking. I was like, damn, I know it's South Dakota, but, man, we ain't got one sister, but it's all right. Hey, you got to recruit to what you have. And I know there ain't many sisters in South Dakota as a whole, so, Coach, you know, you got to get what you can take. And he brings them in. He develops them. They ain't fast at all. They can barely jump over a yellow book, but – they're disciplined, high IQ, and even then, Texas forced them into 23 turnovers. So yeah. As bad as Texas played yesterday, which I agree with Vic Schaefer, they looked really sluggish. It's definitely the worst performance that they put on this season. They still forced 23 turnovers and won by 19 points. So that shows in their worst games – they're still out here getting big dubs that other teams probably wouldn't get in those situations. And they were on the road in South Dakota. And I ain't close. It wasn't like it was an easy trip. Like, that's a long flight right there, you know? So,
and cold as hell getting off the plane.
Yeah, cold as hell. I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah. So give them that time off. Let them go see their families and stuff. Come back healthy. Get that last non-conference game in, and then when it's time for SEC play, hopefully you're healthy enough to hit the ground running.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the right call.
Let's get it. Before that, though, shout out to Covert B Cave. I know a lot of folks are getting ready to hit the road to go see family if they haven't done it already. And you want to hit the road in a vehicle that you're comfortable in. You know, your car shouldn't have to alter your decision to see your family. You know what I'm saying? Like, get the car that, again, you just feel comfortable in, that you feel safe in, 7 hours, 4 hours, 30 minutes. You shouldn't have that fear of, man, I hope this car don't break down, man. I hope I don't have a problem. You know, the heater don't work right now, et cetera, problems could happen all the time. Life is life, but Covert B Cave, they want to make your life easier, just like they made my wife and my life easier by getting us Buick Encore GX. Wife came in there. She let them know, hey, I got an idea of crossover. This is our price range. What can y'all do for us? And my man Jerome hooked it up and found something in our price. We came back the next day, left the lot with a car, and it couldn't have been more of a beautiful, calming, soothing experience. So go to covertbk.com, see all the latest specials and inventory before you touch down. 7 terrific brands to choose from: Ram, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, GMC, and Buick. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Chip. So a lot of weird stuff going on around the sports world.
And real quick, sorry, breaking news. Malik Muhammad has declared for the NFL draft. That is not a surprise.
Yeah, it's not a surprise at all. Yeah, let's talk about that real quick because we got about 16 minutes left. The right call could wait. Salute to Manny Muhammad. I've been one that's been very hard on Manny Muhammad, especially his sophomore year. I thought his sophomore year, as good as that defense was, he was the weak link. And again, if you're an offensive coordinator playing against 2024 Texas, when you got Andrew Makuba, Thorpe Award winner, Jahdae Barron, and Michael Taff on the field, somebody's got to get got. So they went after Manny Muhammad a lot, and he had a few mistakes, you know, a lot of holding calls, pass interference calls that he knew he would have to work on in the offseason to come back for a contract year and make it that contract year. And he did that. Like, you could look at the Florida game and say him not playing was the reason why Texas didn't make the college football playoff with the way Dallas Wilson went crazy and how much Kobe Black and those guys struggled. Like, they really missed Manny Muhammad, and he wasn't getting tried this year. Right. Like, his stats don't jump at you because nobody was really throwing at him. So if you're taking away a whole side of the field, hey, man, you're serious. And he put in that work. He put in that grind. Even with Terrence Joseph and Blake Gideon leaving and Dwayne Akina and Mark Orfe coming in, he was still really good. One of the few bright spots on the secondary that, as we saw, which cost Pete Kwiatkowski his job, struggled this year. So, Manny Muhammad, bro, shout out to South Oak Cliff, who won another state championship. He put on for South Oak Cliff, and now he's about to go change his family's life, which I'm sure he's done already to some extent, being an NIL player. But now it's different, getting that NFL money. I don't know what he's going to do at pro day in the combine, but I expect him to do well with his measurements. And, yeah, solid season. Congrats to Manny Muhammad. Wish him the best.
Yeah, and then he went, you know, home for the Red River Shootout and had his best game, 2 interceptions. You know, made John Mateer look bad. Picked him off in the end zone right before halftime. Yeah, Manny Muhammad, heck of a season. And this was expected. So now you're gonna turn to in the bowl game to Kobe Black, Warren Roberson, Cade Phillips. This is gonna be Cade Phillips is the future, so it's really kind of between Kobe Black and Warren Roberson to make an early statement about, hey, I'm the guy that needs to be in that starting lineup. And they've had some attrition at corner. Santana Wilson headed off to the portal. So this is, and look, Muschamp is going to change the way you're going to have to play man. You're going to have to play man. And that's what Kobe Black and Warren Roberson want. They're not great at off coverage. They're not great at, they want to be up on the line, and they're going to get that chance. So this is a big opportunity for them as they move forward. So this is, you know, good for Manny Muhammad, and it's going to be a real opportunity for guys like Kobe Black, Warren Roberson, and Cade Phillips.
Yeah. And they definitely need to go on the portal for all types of secondary players. I think at every spot. I'm not saying that like I'm like Grayson Littleton needs to be replaced, or if Jelani McDonald decides to come back, like his spot is solidified too. But still, you know, when you're playing a 9-game SEC schedule that also has Ohio State on it, you got to have bodies, man, because we saw this defense. You could argue the three best players on defense from Texas this year missed time. Anthony Hill, Michael Taft, Manny Muhammad. Obviously, Colin Simmons is the best player out of all of them, but you catch my drift here. Like, your main guys going down, that definitely set you back. But also, the next man up mentality, it didn't hit like it should have at a place like the University of Texas. And that's disappointing. So you want to bring in guys where, yeah, I know your best players, you want to keep them on the field, but let's be realistic. Guys are going to get fatigued. Guys are going to get bruises and just beat up a little bit. So when they get a drink of water, the ones that you bring in the game, not much of a drop off, if any. That's what's ideal here. And that's what Will Muschamp and Steve Sarkisian are going to be striving for. And there's a lot of pressure on that with how the season ended. So very eager to see how things unfold these next few months with that.
Yeah.
All right. Right call time. This story's funny as hell, boy. Okay, so you know Ed Cooley, head coach of Georgetown, used to be at Providence. Light-skinned brother, Ed Cooley. This fool is suspended for one game because he thought it was okay to throw a water bottle, Gatorade bottle, some sort of bottle that was empty in the stands when he got mad at a play. As you can see from the video, man. Yo, the kid gets hit in the chest. He's getting held by mama. He's in mama's lap. And Ed Cooley just pissed off. Horrible throw, by the way. Like, horrible throw. Because I feel like he was trying to throw it up, and somehow it just went down. It hit the child, and now he has to have consequences from it, which is being suspended from one game.
And that's probably, like, the wife of a Georgetown staffer.
Right.
Because usually the family, the home, you know, the whatever, the traveling party is right behind the bench. So he probably dusted somebody's wife and kid right there.
Yo, man, that kid gets stuck. That's a shot, man. That's one of those. I mean, that kid, you know, he'll be a better man because of it in the future. But is this worth a game, though? Like, I feel like this is more fine material.
I don't know. These situations, typically, they got to make an example out of somebody.
Yeah.
You can't be throwing stuff back into
the
crowd. Especially as the head coach. Come on, coach.
Come on, coach.
What are we doing?
Come on, Ed. We better than that. We better than that.
Come on, Ed.
All right, so
what would John Thompson do?
I love that, Chip. What would John Thompson do?
He wouldn't be doing that.
No, he would just wipe the sweat off his brow with that towel that was always over his shoulder.
That's it. And he'd walk up to you after the game and be like,
"That's it." Yo, man, CB, this is why you my dog, man, because you know, you get it. We on the same wavelength, because this is exactly what I'm about to talk about next. Okay. Couple of nights ago, Rockets, they beat the Nuggets. Solid win. Reed Shepard went crazy. Yo, I was wrong about Reed Shepard. Reed Shepard, he's starting to ball a little bit. Now, like I say all the time on these airways when I talk about the NBA, be careful, because regular season NBA and postseason NBA, two completely different games. And if you're not ready to adjust, you're going to get smoked and you're going to get exposed. So Reed Shepard, when playoff time comes around and it gets a little more physical, show me that you could do what you're doing now then. All right, I digress. Kevin Durant, Bruce Brown from the Nuggets, they get into it. After the game, Bruce Brown goes to the podium, speaks with the media. They ask him about the events that occurred. He says, yeah, I wish that you could fight in the league without getting fined. Because Durant said some things that you shouldn't say to another man. He crossed the line. So there's this guy on social media. His name's Legends. Somehow he gets like mic'd up footage. And like he's really good at reading lips and stuff and then presenting it to the people. Really good. So I don't know. Somehow he gets the mics and you could hear certain things. Like, I'm not going to play it because Durant definitely crossed the line. But Durant calls him a P-ass ninja. And he don't say ninja. And then he calls him a bum. He's pointing in his face. KD hit a dagger three to end the game. He's like running back, dancing, doing things. I haven't seen KD do like dancing and just making gestures like that ever in my life. But he's doing all that and stuff. And I mean, I like it. I like trash talking basketball. Like, that's one thing I appreciate about KD. He don't back down from no one. And he'll let you know during the game that he's giving you that work. But hey, to each his own. If Bruce Brown feels like he crossed the line, then he has every right to feel that way. But to me, that's what the 80s and 90s were about. So, hey, we need more of that in the NBA. I'm with it. Keep it going.
Hey, man. KD still got it.
He still got it.
KD still got it.
And to be honest, Chip, I think like things like that, it's going to be so hard for him to retire. Like Father Time might have to take him out. You know what I'm saying? Because if he's healthy and good enough to run, he'll play for another 10 years just off the passion of just being out there and just everything about it, from having teammates, the art of the game, the work that you have to put in, the beauty of the game, and then, you know, the trash talking aspect and the challenge. Like, he loves every aspect of basketball and what comes with it. And the Rockets, they're exciting. They're exciting. Shingun doing his thing. Again, Reed Shepard's got a lot better. Thompson twin, sure you know, with the Thompson twin that's representing the Pistons, those guys are just athletic freaks. So the only concern thing about Rockets fans, or that Rockets fans should have right now, is they've lost 8 clutch games this year. They've lost 9 total. They're 1-4 in overtime games. So when it comes to closing out tight games, as of now, they've been struggling with that. And last night they lost to the Kings. Russell Westbrook hit a huge three to tie it. Kevin Durant missed the huge three to win it. Went into overtime and ended up losing that one against a team that ain't going to make the playoffs or have any chance of making it at all. So something to look at for the Rockets moving forward.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let's go, KD.
Yeah.
Rockets, let me see. What are we looking at here? Are we looking at the 6th seed right now? Okay.
Yeah, still early. But they always say you know who your team is after 25 games, or you start to figure it out what your team really is after 25 games. So, yeah, that's where they are. West is a gauntlet. The East wide open, and we'll see. Christmas Day, always a tradition, watch them 5 games. Now we got the NFL, so a lot going on Christmas Day. I'm all about it. All right, last thing before we bring in Patrick and Matt. Kenny Dillingham, who is staying at Arizona State and got a big contract. This dude is fighting for the boosters and the folks and alums that went to ASU, how they need to give back, and they need to give back handsomely. Listen to this.
So when we had to find one of these really rich people in this city to step up and stroke a check, and I'll do everything I can to make you the most famous person in the city, right? That's really what we need. We need one person. We live in Phoenix, Arizona. You're telling me there's not one person who could stroke a $20 million check right now? There is somebody out here who can. There's somebody who can. There's somebody. And, like, other people are going to sacrifice to be here. Somebody step up. Step up and be that dude to say, holy cow, what completely changed it? This person. There's somebody out there that's going to listen to this, that's going to get it forwarded. It. If you know somebody who can do it, forward this message to somebody. Somebody can step up and completely take this place from the direction it's going to holy cow. And it's right here in the city.
That's I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're seeing, you know, David Booth from Kansas, who lives here in Austin, he's given $300 million to Kansas for NIL purposes to endow their NIL for life, which is what you want, baby.
Yeah.
You put $300 million into escrow, and you trim that interest every year. For your NIL, you looking good. Kenny Dillingham just wants a $20 million check.
That's it. He ain't asking for much.
That's that's 1 year.
Yeah, that ain't nothing, right? That ain't nothing. He ain't asking for much. There's somebody out there. He gonna make him famous.
Oh, yeah.
You heard the guy. I love Kenny Dillingham, man. That dude, he's good for the game.
Yeah. All right. Let's open up the gym. Let's bring in Patrick and Matt. What up, fellas?
What's going on, man? It's a good old Monday. Short week for us here before Christmas. KD's yelling at players. Kenny Dillingham's begging for money. Just as usual.
What more could you want?
What more could you want?
One more could you want?
KD getting into a fight with a guy that he played with for 2 years. You know that's something more. That's something more than what was on the court that night. Those dudes were teammates for two seasons.
I was thinking about that, Patrick. Like, weren't they, didn't they play together?
Yeah, 2000 to 2022 on the Nets.
Yeah, and KD was saying that we don't even have to guard you. Basically saying that you could just sag off him and let him shoot because he's that much of a liability on the offensive end. Like, that is knife to the gut and just twisting the hell out of it real slow. Like,
if I had to guess, knowing how KD normally rolls, Bruce Brown said some stuff after either Bruce Brown left Brooklyn or after KD left Brooklyn. He said some things about KD, and KD has not forgotten them at all.
Yeah. I can see that. But Merry Christmas, fellas. Y'all have a good show. We out of here.
Tomorrow.
See y'all tomorrow.
Later, guys.